Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, April 23rd, and it is time for our special guest. Joining me in studio this morning, it's so fun to have Martha Mitkus from Lutheran Malaria Initiative here in studio today. Martha, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I get to see you all the time in the hallway, but it's fun to get to be in the studio. You were saying this is your first time in the new studios here. I know that you got to talk about LMI a while back, probably, what, about a year ago over in the old studios, but here you are in our fancy new studios.
Yeah, and the new studios are gorgeous. If they haven't seen them yet, they really need to come by the International Center and take a look.
You know what's missing, though? We don't have any orange in the studios other than what I'm wearing today.
That is true. That is true. You need to redecorate the studio for this week for Orange Out Malaria.
That would make it that would make it perfect, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I had to dig in the back of the closet to find orange for Orange Out Malaria. Now, what is Lutheran Malaria Initiative and why Orange Out?
Sure. This is a partnership between Lutheran World Relief and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to help end malaria deaths in Sub-Saharan Africa. There is currently a child dying every 66.5 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really still unbelievably devastating numbers, but we've made tremendous progress over the last 4 years. In 2010, LMI was approved at the Synodical Convention by 98% that we needed to help our brothers and sisters in Christ that were suffering.
How preventable or curable is malaria?
Malaria is completely preventable and treatable. And we're working through three different areas: education, prevention, and treatment. And we do all of this work through our partner churches in Africa that already have relationships in the community and are already reaching out to spread the gospel. So this is our opportunity to reach out with Christ's hand of mercy as well.
I recall seeing, I haven't seen the mosquito yet today, but I recall seeing the giant mosquito in pictures from last year's, the giant mosquito coming back.
He may make a presence. You never know. You never know.
But here in the United States, malaria is not really an issue.
Yeah, it was eradicated in the United States in 1951. So it's not something that especially our generation understands or even accepts that it's something that's really happening. There have been times where I've spoken congregations and people come up and they say, that's still really a problem. There are still nearly 627,000 people dying every year from a disease that's completely preventable and treatable.
And the mosquito is the carrier, correct, is the most common carrier.
That's correct. It is the conduit. It's the female Anopheles mosquito, and it's biting between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. that is causing these children's bodies to go into convulsions and for them to die.
Wow. So something as simple as preventing those mosquito bites throughout the night can really reduce that. So as you mentioned, there was a three-way approach to this through education and
prevention and treatment.
Wow. So how do you go about that? How do you go about educating? Let's start with that.
Well, the first thing that we need to do is to educate them on what malaria is and how it's spread. A few years ago, I had some time to spend with Bishop Walter Obare of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya. And while I was spending time with him, he shared with me his personal struggle with malaria and what it has done to his family. He is one of five survivors. He lost 10 brothers and sisters to the disease. And his mother came to him before she died, and she confessed that she believed that these children had been bewitched by the devil, and that is why they were dying. Wow. She didn't realize that it was the bite of one little tiny mosquito that was killing her children. And it wasn't until she saw Bishop Obare's own children suffer from the same illness and receive treatment that she came to the realization she could have done something more to protect her children. I cannot even fathom what that must have felt like for her. So teaching them what malaria is, how it's spread, and what they need to do to protect their families from this disease.
So through education, you can teach them how to prevent it. And how simple is it? The mosquito nets? I know we've seen those as part of the initiative.
Yeah, we utilize long-lasting insecticide-treated mosquito nets that prevent the spread of malaria by killing the mosquito before it can go out and bite someone else. So utilizing the nets properly, if sometimes when you're traveling in Africa, you see them utilized improperly. So utilized as fishing nets or wedding veils or whatever they happen to use them for because they have not been educated on how to use them properly. Also proper care and maintenance, making sure there are not holes in the nets. and retreating them after 3 years should they still be in good condition so that they can maintain that ability to kill the mosquitoes before they can go out and spread the disease.
So that's why education is so important. You can have a mosquito net, but if you don't know how to care for it, how to, I mean, it sounds kind of silly at first, but really when you think about it, you know, something as frail as a mosquito net really needs to be taken care of, because one or two holes in that and that's just a feast for mosquitoes then.
Yeah, and actually the CDC is currently doing a research project to determine what size of a hole mm-hmm. would actually impede its ability to prevent the spread of malaria. So there's a lot of things going on out there, the development of a vaccine, research in net use, to determine, you know, how is the best way for us to eliminate this disease. And we've really made tremendous progress. Just in the last 4 years, there was over 1 million people dying every year from the disease. Now it's 627,000. We're still dealing with unbelievably devastating numbers, but we're making progress. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep pushing forward.
For you, before being a manager in health ministry and learning, you know, being a part of Lutheran Malaria Initiative, how much did you know about malaria prior to this?
I didn't. I actually did a lot of research, and I wanted to make sure I knew what was going on, not only in the Lutheran world, but mm-hmm. also in the global fight to end malaria deaths, so that we could be articulate in going out to tell our congregations what's going on, so they can tell their members what we need to be doing as a church body to help prevent this disease.
And so why is it important as a church body that we be a part of this? Why Lutherans get involved in preventing malaria deaths?
Because we are called by Christ to show mercy mm-hmm. and compassion for our brothers and sisters. And we have the ability. We have been blessed tremendously here in the United States. And for only $10 of our money, we can provide a net, medication, and education needed to protect a family from mm-hmm. malaria.
That's tremendous. Just $10.
Just $10.
I mean, think of you know, a trip to the local coffee shop. That's two coffees.
Exactly.
That's two coffees in a week.
Exactly.
That could prevent, provide that education, the net, as you said, the resources to help prevent and reduce. Okay, so we talked about education. Prevention would include the nets. Are there other means to prevention?
Well, actually helping them recognize the signs and symptoms and receive treatment on time. Mm-hmm. It's a 24 to 36 hour window of time before someone dies from malaria. So that's a very short period of time. So helping them to recognize those signs and symptoms, mm-hmm. go and get tested so that we make sure we're not overutilizing medication if it may be another illness that's coming into play, and receiving treatment in that window of time to protect them from dying.
And what are some of the signs of malaria?
Well, there is actually two different types of malaria. There's a common malaria, which causes flu-like symptoms, mm-hmm. nausea, vomiting. But then there's cerebral malaria, which is actually killing people. And it is attacking the fluid in the spinal column, mm-hmm. Which then gets into the liver mm-hmm. and spreads throughout the body. And that's what's actually killing people.
Wow. And so education, prevention, and then treatment.
Treatment. Having them access treatment in their local communities. A lot of times, the work that we're doing is in last mile communities. These are communities that are so far out in the region, mm-hmm. they don't have access to government resources. But we have pastors and teachers there, the most trusted individuals in the communities. And for them to help through their local dispensaries to keep track of medication, make sure they're not having outages, mm-hmm. Knowing when they need to reorder so that they get new sources again before they run out, and helping them to manage that and only giving it to people that are actually suffering from malaria.
Very good. So this three-prong approach to education, prevention, and treatment can really bring about a big change in how malaria affects us. We're going to talk about how LMI has, where we've come. You said that we've made some serious progress in the last 4 years. So we're going to talk about that. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with Martha Mitkos from Lutheran Malaria Initiative right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Why has sin become a rare topic in many evangelical churches today? And why are there few penitential songs in pop praise and worship music? Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Alvin Platinga about the neglect of sin in evangelical worship.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, April 23rd, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Helen Wakis. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of her mother, Mary Wakis, whose birthday was on April 18th. Glory and thanksgiving to our God. Once again, we say thank you to Helen Wakis of Kirkwood, Missouri, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Hi, this is Rod Zwanitzer, KFUO's director, asking you to join us for Share-a-thon 2014, April 24th through the 26th. During Share-a-thon, we'll have many special guests and share how KFUO has touched the lives of our listeners with this Christ-centered message. Also during Share-a-thon, we'll ask you for your support and share with you how your gifts will help KFUO share the gospel of Jesus with a world that so desperately needs him. Please prayerfully consider making a gift this year during Share-a-thon 2014 and celebrate the ministry with us Thursday and Friday, April 24th and 25th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturday, April 26th, 7 a.m. till noon. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, April 23rd, and today we are talking with Martha Mitkos from Lutheran Malaria Initiative, and we've been talking about how easy it is, to educate, to prevent, and to treat malaria. Something as simple as $10 can really make a huge difference. So, Lutheran Malaria Initiative has really made some progress. Where are we? How much progress has been made, Martha?
Well, on the global scale, in 2010, when we approved this at convention, a child was dying every 30 seconds from malaria. And over the last 4 years, we have seen it slowly compress to 45 seconds, 60 seconds, and this year we are now at 66.5 seconds. So we're making tremendous progress, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Sure. So what did it take to get to that? I mean, it was a lot of support, a lot of work, the campaign, a lot of partnerships. How much work, I know you've been putting in a lot of time, how many people were involved in really bringing that?
Well, this is part of the global effort. So the Lutheran Malaria Initiative is one portion of that. And the reason the work that we're doing is so important is we're working in last mile communities that don't have access to government resources. So organizations like USAID, the President's Malaria Initiative, the Methodists and the work that they're doing are also reaching out in different mechanisms to try and educate the community. But every program is a little bit different. One of the things that makes LMI unique is that we do everything in close proximity to the gospel.
And that's what I was going to ask is, what's the difference between Lutheran Malaria Initiative and, you know, all those other organizations? We're coming with the mercy of Christ.
Yeah, and one of the things that also makes LMI unique is the United Nations Foundation provided grant funding to cover the administrative costs of the work that we do. That means 100% of the money that we raised here at the LCMS goes directly to programming. That to help educate, prevent, and treat malaria in those rural communities.
Who in the LCMS, what types of groups got involved to support?
Well, you know, it's really kind of exciting. We've seen the kids really take hold of this. They understand the message. They know that other kids are dying. And they're doing everything from having a violin concert to selling lemonade to saving $10 worth of quarters in a tall medicine bottle to help prevent the treatment of, and educate and treat malaria in sub-Saharan Africa.
So groups of students that was there a story that really stood out? I mean, you mentioned a violin concert. I mean, who were some of the kids or students that really stood out?
Well, one of the things that I found really exciting was to see our next generation of philanthropists at our Concordia universities mm-hmm. really get involved. Louisa Mayle and her group at Concordia Seward managed to raise over $50,000 for the Lutheran Malaria Initiative. So to see kids like that mm-hmm. and youth really get involved and excited and passionate about what's happening in the world. One of the other things that happened was at the National Youth Gathering, the youth were provided the opportunity to tell Congress and Senate that we want them to continue to provide funding to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they were so excited and passionate to do that. You barely got the message out of your mouth, and they were grabbing the iPad so that they could type in their information to tell them they wanted to have a voice.
Wow. Now, going back to the student from Concordia, Nebraska, what did she do, and the students that worked with her, what did she do to raise $50,000?
They actually got their community involved and engaged all of the professors at mm-hmm. the university, the leadership. So Brian Friedrich and all of his group came in to support the students and help raise matching funds. They also received some scholarship money from a couple in the Baltimore area mm-hmm. that helped support the work that was happening. So they provided matching funds for the work that was happening as well.
How exciting to see this, the motivation, as you said, in the young philanthropists, this next generation of philanthropists. When we talk about the church, I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. You are a member of the church. You are a member of the body of Christ, and you are given vocations. And part of that vocation is to show mercy to our neighbors, whether our neighbors who live next door or neighbors on the other side of the planet. And when our neighbors on the other side of the planet are suffering from malaria and facing illness and death by something that's so preventable, that's so treatable, mm-hmm. what an opportunity to bring the love and the mercy of Christ with simple medicine, with education.
And it's really our responsibility mm-hmm. to teach that next generation about Christ's love for us mm-hmm. and what he has done in dying on the cross and saving us from our sins, and how we can then open up doors for opportunities to share the gospel message with others that have not heard that good news yet.
And as you mentioned before, that the work that we do is so connected with the local pastor and the congregation and other church workers to bring the medicine, the treatment, the education, the prevention with the message of Christ right there in their community. That's pretty far out, as you said, away from government agencies and that sort of thing. So to connect with the church.
Well, and they see the church as a place of hope and a place to really connect with the community. Mm-hmm. And it opens up doors to have conversations about their relationship with Christ mm-hmm. and what he has done for us. But, you know, one of the things that happens is a lot of times when Americans come into African countries, they drop off nets and they leave. So Africans don't utilize the nets properly. Mm-hmm. They hide them. And when their family and friends come over, they say, look what the Americans gave me. So it's not helping them to prevent and treat mm-hmm. malaria. So for them to understand what it is, how it's spread, and how they can protect their families, and all of this coming from the local pastors in the community. Mm-hmm. We just began our work in Liberia, and the Liberian Lutheran Church has really taken this on and gotten really excited about it, and they've made tremendous progress just in the past month and a half.
Wow.
And they are starting their initial assessments. They are doing home-to-home visits in 17 communities around Monrovia, Liberia. And in these communities, they're going into the homes, they're talking with them about how many bed nets do you currently have, who is sleeping under them, how are you utilizing them, and trying to get some of those baseline stories from them to determine what education needs to happen. The programming looks different in every community that we go into because it's important to utilize the local culture and how the pastors and teachers are already in the community to help spread the message of education, prevention, and treatment.
And as I understand, you made a trip to Liberia. Tell us about your visit.
Well, it was actually really exciting. We had 20 volunteers from the Lutheran Church of Liberia that gathered with us to learn about the work that is happening in other countries what it needs to look like in Liberia. So really taking ownership of it. What do you want to see accomplished when LMI is finished? They set goals. They set standards for their treatment and education. But we also learned things. One of the women in the group that happens to be a nurse shared with us that when they're going home to home to do these assessments, they're going to feel like their hands are tied because they don't have the ability to treat someone immediately. So we found out that we needed to actually provide additional training through the Ministry of Health so that they could be certified healthcare workers. And when they go into a home where there's already a child suffering from malaria, they can test and treat for that malaria.
Wow. And that's a huge leap. Isn't it? What a difference I think that would make.
Oh, definitely. And I think it gives them more confidence in the work that they're doing. But they're already so passionate about it because each and every person has been affected in some way, whether it's losing a sibling, a parent, a child to malaria. And to understand what that means to be able to provide comfort, to heal someone right there in the moment.
You've demonstrated how far we've come. We've made a lot of progress in 4 years through the partnerships and the work and the education, prevention and treatment. Where do we go from here?
Well, officially, the campaign phase of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative ends April 30th. But that doesn't mean we're done. There is still a lot of work to be done. We currently have funding for programming over the next 2 to 3 years. We're still receiving gifts from donors that are graciously giving to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And all of that funding will continue to be used for malaria treatment, education, and prevention. But we're also continuing that work. As we continue to raise funds, we add additional countries that we're working in. So right now we're working in Mali, Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, Liberia, Ethiopia, and we're making progress all the time on where we can continue our work as people continue to support the Lutheran Malaria Initiative.
I'm impressed you did that without any notes. You went through that whole list. Man, that was pretty impressive. Now, you mentioned that the campaign ends on the end of April, but coming up right around the corner in just 2 days, just a couple of days, April 25th is World Malaria Day, correct?
That is correct.
What are we doing for World Malaria Day? What are some things that we can do?
Well, I would encourage anyone that's in the St. Louis area to please come to the IC and join us for our special chapel service that's going to happen at 10 a.m., where President Harrison will be preaching on mercy and what we're doing to help end malaria deaths. Also, they can join us at 1 p.m. for a special prayer time. If they can't be with us here in the St. Louis area, please join us at that time. Stop what you're doing and pray for the 1,300 children that are dying every day from a disease that is completely preventable and treatable.
Now, why 1 p.m.?
Because it's 1,300 on a 24-hour clock, and that is the number of children dying every day. Now, last year, it was at 2:40 p.m. because there was 1,440 children dying every day. So we're making progress again.
Wow. So moving up the clock. So we need to get all the way up to ODARC 100. Is that what you're saying?
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. We would truly be blessed. And actually, the Gates Foundation out of Seattle, Washington, is doing some phenomenal research right now in funding research on the development of a vaccine. Right now, it's about 50% effective. But they say that the work we're doing right now is so important because we're establishing trust in these communities. So when a vaccine is available, they'll be more apt to take it and to treat their families to help eradicate the disease.
Sure. I couldn't imagine, you know, being in a community where someone who comes from another culture, another country walks in and says, here's what you need to do. I mean, you have to build trust first, right?
And that's why it's important that we as Americans don't go into these communities and conduct the programming. We do it through those local congregations that are there, have an established presence, and will continue to be there to nurture them, not only in mercy, but also in witness and sharing the gospel with them.
Telling them the good news of Jesus. Well, what can we do to find out more? Where are the resources? How can we find out more about World Malaria Day and what we can do to support Lutheran Malaria Initiative?
Sure. We have a whole Orange Out Malaria kit.
Oh, yeah.
That is available on www.lcms.org/LMI. So they can find all kinds of information there. There's a monthly newsletter that goes out, and they can actually go back and read some of the previous newsletters that not only talk about what's happening in country, the work that we're doing, but they can find out about what congregations and schools and individuals are doing here in the United States to help raise funds for the Lutheran Malaria Initiative. They can also call Patty Maynor at 314-996-1661 to receive more information, request resources for their congregation, as well as access information or make a gift over the phone.
So this week is Orange Out Malaria Week. It's this Friday.
This Friday.
World Malaria Day. And Sunday, LMI Sunday as well.
It is. And we are asking congregations to wear orange in support of the work that's happening in the Lutheran Church, but also to pray for those that are suffering from malaria, that have lost family members mm-hmm. to malaria, and for those that are fighting to help end malaria deaths in sub-Saharan Africa.
Some resources. I see a book, a children's book. Little Things Make Big Differences.
Yes, Reverend John Nunes has written a book called Little Things Make Big Differences, and it is currently available through CPH in a bundle pack, significantly discounted. Regularly, I think they're $6.99 a piece, but you can order a bundle of 10 for $25. And with that then also comes some of the resources like the LMI Who Rags and the limited edition key tags. So feel free to check that out on CPH's website as well.
If you ever wanted a book with a picture of a giant mosquito on the front of it, there it is.
There you go.
Well, that's great. You can get that from Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. Little Things Make Big Differences. And observing World Malaria Day this Friday, LMI Sunday this weekend as well. Martha, it has been great talking with you about all the, just hearing the success of Lutheran Malaria Initiative, the work that you're doing, what lies ahead, and the hopeful outlook for Lutheran Malaria Initiative. Thanks for taking time to talk with us about it this morning.
Thank you so much.
Blessings to you and all the work that you're doing with Lutheran Malaria Initiative. I think you've come a long way, and God is continuing to bless your work. Well, coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. We're going to study the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Greg Farrell from Concordia University in Portland. Stick around for that right here on Worldwide KFUO.